The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
A custodian at a school named Timothy Walters was forced to resign when officials discovered he was living in like a basement area of the school because he'd been evicted. He got behind and he had nowhere to go.
Ooh.
And so he just had like a little mattress in there and some clothes. Not much of anything, really. And instead of helping him, they were like, hey, you got to get fired. I don't agree with it, but I really want to know what you think. 877-730-DCS1. Here's Timothy explaining what happened and apologizing.
I'm really not good at asking for help, and I'm the type of man to just try and figure out myself. But that lasted up to the point, obviously, with it being discovered. I had a room there, and you know, I'll take accountability for it. I was wrong for doing so. It's just wild when you have your back against the wall. Sometimes your brain reacts one way, and you end up making choices that you probably shouldn't have made. And unfortunately, I made that choice, and here we are today.
I thought that it was very poetic, his words, back against the wall. It's human nature to survive, right? You're just like, I've got to figure out how to survive. He didn't quit his job. He did, you know, he kept working every day. I just think the school missed an opportunity to help a man who was down and out and maybe ask parents, kids, let's do a fundraiser. How about coming up with a way to just help him with a down payment and 1 month's rent? The man is working. We know he can pay his rent now.
As a boss, that's a tough decision. That's a tough place to be in, because they can't do that. You can't come and stay inside your work overnight for months on end. It's just, it's against,
you can.
It's against the rules.
You know, sometimes rules are meant to be broken. And I don't mean every rule. I'm not saying that. But gosh, haven't you ever been down and out? You know what I mean? When you're just, you feel like you can't get ahead. You finally start saving a dollar or two. And then something happens where you have to spend it. And you're just, you know, one paycheck away from not having a place to live. Amy, thank you so much for holding. Do you think the school made the right decision in asking this man to resign?
Absolutely not. No.
Yeah.
And the guy took accountability, which is rare these days, but they could have handled it quietly and put him up in a room until they did the fundraiser or something. And then to take away his employment, it makes it that more desperate.
That word. Thanks. I was trying to look for the word, Amy. I'm so glad you called. Haven't you ever been there? I have been there where I'm desperate, I don't know what to do. I remember riding around with my car with no insurance, which is something you shouldn't do. I had to decide, am I going to pay my car insurance? Am I going to buy food? Am I going to pay my electric bill? And I remember a police officer pulling me over. And I got a ticket for no insurance. Guess what that did?
Cost you more money.
It cost, and I begged him. I begged him to please not give me the ticket. I said, I understand, officer. I just don't have the money. I had to go to court. Thank goodness the judge had mercy on me and dismissed everything.
And that doesn't happen much at all.
No, it doesn't, you know.
The legal system. I've been homeless, too. And
oh, Amy.
Nothing but the clothes on my back. And the times we're living in, the economy, you know, the man is doing what he could. And the way they handled it was very, very cruel.
He's still working. It's not like he's just living there doing nothing.
Did they fire him?
They forced him to resign.
See, this is making me cry because
it's a tough situation to be in.
Well, and Amy, you've been there.
Worse situation, though.
Yeah, it is.
Now he has no income.
No income and nowhere to go. How did you get out of your homeless situation, and how did you end up there too?
Because of drugs, and I found a free detox center and stayed 7.5 months, and God worked in my life.
Oh.
My sister gave me a mobile home, mobile home when she moved and got married, and I found a job within walking distance and was without a car, but God placed me in positions to eventually get those because I was willing. And sounds like this guy was willing, and he held himself accountable.
You know, Amy, what you just said is so important. Somebody gave you an opportunity. Somebody believed in you. You know, God put these people in front of you to help you, and you took it. And that's all this man, I think, wanted. Amy talking about being homeless, you know, it's not something that's easy to talk about, because I think you immediately judge people like they just don't work or they don't do anything. I lived in my car for 3 months. And I worked, and there were, you know, it had nothing to do with anything except that I had two kids. I was 15 when I had my first daughter, and it was just really hard to be on my own. I'm getting emotional like Amy. It was so hard to choose between the electric bill and buying groceries. You know, that's why I'm so adamant about people, you know, about educating yourself and moving forward in every job, networking and learning as much as you can from it. You know, I shine shoes and flip burgers.
You
know,
do what you can do to keep yourself out of that situation. Yeah.
But you know what? I had help. Like you, Amy, had help.
You had opportunity.
And that's what they missed the boat here with this man. I'm sorry. Forcing someone to resign who's in a horrible situation was the wrong thing to teach the kids that go to that school.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Megan Thee Stallion finally spilling all the tea about her breakup with Klay Thompson. Let's talk about this. She said she was losing herself in the relationship.
Oh.
Ooh.
Why?
She said it was a very rough breakup. She says she feels like she was put through the washing machine and the dryer and everything else, but that she was conforming to be what he wanted in a woman instead of allowing herself to be who she is. Mm. He wanted her to be the basketball wife, the trophy wife. She's like, I'm a rapper. I'm an artist.
And a superstar.
I'm an entrepreneur.
Mean. Yeah.
I am, you know, I have a foundation. I've got a lot going on myself. And,
But I'm sure with Klay Thompson, because he's got, you know, athlete money, which is hundreds of millions. He probably thinks like, oh, yeah, that's cute. Your little foundation, your little, you know, $1 million here and there.
But she says she refused to dim her light no matter what. She's like, cool. If you know, Otto, I think you're right. Like, he's got all this stuff going on. Well, she's got stuff going on. And in her mind, it's equally as important. Your partner should uplift you. It's not about how much or who or what. It should be, hey, I'm your partner. I'm going to make you feel good about what you're doing. Not, why are you doing that? Just come hang with me.
True.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And it's also, they're just so busy people. I wonder if it's even as personal as it sounds in her interview. Like, it might have, they just might have just grown apart. And it might have just been
probably
a separation issue. And also, too, like, now I wonder if she feels a little goofy for how peachy and fairy tale-like they made it seem on social media. I thought they were about to get, like, married.
I thought they were getting married for sure, too.
That's what I thought, and then no. Apparently not.
I thought they were going to get married, too, because they looked so happy. And I think, I believe in the beginning they were. And then quickly they found out they just weren't meant for each other. She does mention people cheating on you. That doesn't have anything to do with you. So the rumors are true. He stepped out on her, too. So, you know, there you go. And I guess he tried to apologize, and she just was not having it.
I mean, she's not your typical basketball girl that's going to put up with that kind of stuff.
Hey,
I've seen it firsthand. There's a lot of girls who put up with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Megan Thee Stallion doesn't have to. Do you see that InStyle cover?
Hello.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
You know, when ish goes down, you have to have someone in your crew that you can trust in the event of an emergency. And I have found out it is not my husband, DJ Automatic.
Oh, come on now. Whoa.
Recently,
I had
we were
a couple
on the
traffic
highway.
Conundrums, and you're going to hold that against me?
Yes, because it was scary. We ran into a funeral procession, and Otto had no idea what to do. Both police officers got mad at him, and then we ended up in the funeral procession. Okay, whatever.
You can't just say it like that, okay?
He was so upset this morning about it, talking, oh, whatever, that's a one-time thing. We're on our way to work, and there's an ambulance and a fire truck, and he's like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, sir.
Well, first of all, when do you see an ambulance and a fire truck driving 3 miles per hour?
That's not the point. I'm like, pull over to the right, just like you should have during the funeral procession.
I was trying to assess the situation. Okay?
I'm with you, Otto. Sometimes it's a lot. You don't know which way they're coming, and respect to the family, but you don't know, like, they're taking over every single lane. You know which way they're going. I get you, Automatic.
Just go right. And you know what, Anthony? Although you're taking up for him, I would trust you in the event of an emergency.
What are you talking about?
Trust
you
me?
Would trust Anthony over me in an emergency?
Oh, for sure.
Anthony would already be gone. He wouldn't even wait for you.
Yeah.
Gosh. Oh, I don't think I could trust producer Jack.
I was a mall security guard and I was an RA on college. I had emergency protocol on lock.
Oh, my God.
You were the NRA on college. You had a rifle?
No.
RA, Dana.
Oh. RA.
Resident assistant.
Yes. Oh, I didn't go to college, Jack. I know all about the NRA.
You obviously didn't stay in the dorms.
I know nothing about the RA.
Pretty much, Jack was like the mother goose of like the college dorms.
God, right? I would have been
so when there was a problem going on, or you didn't clean your dorm, or you're smoking or something, Jack was the guy who laid down the authority.
Oh, in-house snitch.
Hold on, Jack. Hold on, Jack. When you were a mall cop, did you ever have any serious situations come your way?
Oh, plenty of times.
What did you do?
What do you consider a serious situation.
We had to break up a fight, and we were like severely understaffed. But also because of the no pursuit policy, didn't have handcuffs, I didn't have pepper spray, I didn't have nothing. There was nothing I could do. And even though I was escorting three people,
you should have just got in on it, Jack.
Meet me in the back with that speaker.
I don't work for that company anymore. Thank God.
Anyway,
I trust Jack. Look at that. He just listed all of his protocol tools and everything. Yeah, I trust him.
He had none of them, Anthony. None of those tools. I think if it's all of this crew, I'm probably the one.
Dana, you can't even drive yourself out of a parking lot. What are you talking about? You were the last person I'm calling in an emergency.
We're all screwed. Dial 911. That's all there is to it.
AI is going to take over and we're going to just lay down.
I guess so.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
The movie about Snoop Dogg's life is being made. I'm going to tell you the release date, who's in the movie, who's directing the movie. But first, you know his BFF, Martha Stewart? I thought she was all about Snoop Dogg. No, she loves hip-hop, and she's actually wanting to meet another great man in the space.
I invited Snoop to be on my show because he was a rapper, and I was attracted to rappers. I like rap music. I especially like Eminem, and I could never get Eminem to come on any, you know, he would not accept any invitation. I still haven't met him. I tried to meet him at the Super Bowl when he appeared with Snoop and Dr. Dre a couple years ago. I was walking around the stadium to get down to where he was. It was too late by the time I got there. They were already out on the field performing.
Martha's got the hots for Eminem. Go ahead.
Her and every other middle-aged white woman in America.
Gosh, Otto.
Martha Stewart just talking about her random Sunday is just like a humble flex.
I was just hanging out at the Super Bowl.
What,
walked
Martha?
Down to the field. She's such a boss.
She is.
Man, they made a documentary about her. We need a movie, like Snoop's getting a movie, which, by the way, I'm excited to see. The director is Craig Brewer. He directed Hustle and Flow.
Okay,
real director here. We're going to get Warren G making an appearance. Not the actual Warren G. The story of Snoop.
I would like it better if the actual Warren G.
I know, that'd be great, right? So Warren G. would be good. We're going to see him. Biggie Smalls will be in it. Tupac will be in it. Obviously played by actors. But Snoop said, this is going to be a raw look at my life. No holds barred. The truth. Everything. He doesn't want anything watered down. He's like, because I was involved in a lot of stuff when I first came up, and now I'm here.
He might be America's favorite rapper now, but at one point he was a gangster rapper.
He was. I mean, and you're right. Now he's Grandpa Snoop.
Yeah, I mean, nobody thinks of him how he used to be. When Doggy Style came out, people looked at him much differently.
It's called Doggy Style, obviously.
One of the greatest hip-hop albums of all time.
Of all time, seriously. Okay, we can look forward to this coming to theaters in August 2027.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.